All right, the Lord is good. Oh, peace is our portion in Jesus' name. Oh,
amen.
If you believe, you give me a very convincing amen.
Amen.
What if I say, according to that volume, shall be your prosperity? All right, let's just, I didn't say that, but just imagine I said so. All right, peace is our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, all right, that's $1 million. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now let's declare God's word together. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respect. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now I gain and incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Healing has come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your tongue is healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Your tongue is healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When you open your mouth, life comes out of it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When you open your mouth, life will come out of it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That light will re-enter your body and heal you totally. That life that's coming from your mouth will enter your body and heal you totally.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It will spread and put peace in your home.
Amen.
Yes. Your child that was sick will stop being sick.
Amen.
The disturbance, the anger between husband and wife will disappear.
Amen.
Favor will come into that home.
Amen.
You know, when a man leaves trouble at home, he gets to the office, there are no customers. That's how it goes. Favor will come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The emphasis for today, your tongue is healed.
Amen.
It's a source of life.
Amen.
It does not produce death. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. As you are sitting down, greet somebody on your left and your right again. Tell the person, wise man, wise woman, you are welcome. Tell the person, you are wise, you are wise, you are wise. You say, which one is wisdom in this one? Ha! You could have gone home to rest. You've been busy the whole day. You could have gone home to rest. But you said, no, let me go and hear the word of God. That's wisdom. That is wisdom. He said, I rejoice at thy word, like him that finds grace poor. That's what David said. For rejoicing at the word of God, that's wisdom. The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Please, let's take to heart the prayers that we prayed just before now, led by our brother Okemute. Very important. God is counting on us. He and I were speaking earlier. I said, listen, God lacks people. That's the problem he has, to find people that he can use. There was a time he didn't want to punish people. He said, all right, but if I'm not going to punish them, because there are laws he has set in motion. All right, if things will not happen according to their iniquity, I need to have somebody stand as an intercessor. He said, I looked and found none. When he said in the hearing of Isaiah, he said, who shall I send? Who will go for us? When he made that statement, he needed somebody. He needed somebody. When he came down to Sodom and Gomorrah, he didn't want to destroy the place, but he said, we can't find 10 righteous people, so he had to destroy the place. When he wants to bless, he needs people. People operate different ways. One of the most important things they do is that they utter with their words, they prophesy. Surely the Lord God does nothing until he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Why? Why not just to anybody? Why to his prophets? Because they are the ones that prophesy. The words that they declare into the air activate something. I was preaching on Saturday. I'll continue next time. I pray, depending on what we'll get back, all right? But I'll continue next, okay? About the fact that things are happening in the realm of the Spirit. We, by faith, activate the ones that we want to happen in our lives. You know, was it yesterday or this morning? If you follow me on Twitter, a word just dropped in my heart. I quickly tweeted it. That's one of the things I enjoy about Twitter. Not because I really want to tell anybody anything, just I want to record the thing. So once I tweet it, it's a permanent record. Are you getting my point? What did I tweet? I said, face the facts if you want. I said, but know that only your faith will dictate the next set of facts. I don't know whether I get my point. You can say, let's face the facts. That will be your reality. But if you face faith, it will dictate the next set of facts that will begin to occur in your life. I was listening to reading Derek Prince again, although I read this story from him, my mother, about 25 years ago when I first encountered it. God's medicine bottle. All right, when he talked about God's medicine bottle, how he was sick and he was in hospital. And then one day, a woman and two other people, they came to look for him, a missionary woman, the head of a soldier. That's in Egypt, where the hospital was, as it was a soldier in the Second World War. So they came to see him, and then they took him out somewhere to go and pray with him. And one of them prophesied. And according to him, I think he was the one, he said he could understand what the woman was saying, as the woman was speaking in other tongues. And what did the woman say? He said that he should consider the work on the cross, perfect in every respect, something like that. And then these people dropped him and they left. And he realized that what God was saying is that your healing is on the cross. So he took the scriptures and began to read, this time around searching for the word of healing. Then he stumbled onto a particular word. He said, "My son, attend to my words." Proverbs chapter 4. "Incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from your heart. Keep them from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them. And literally medicine to their whole flesh." Ah, he says that's so. All right, fine. Then every day, three times a day, anytime he will eat, he will take the scriptures and study as a man taking medicine. And what doctors had given up on started getting cured. Now, this is the point I want to make. It wasn't cured instantaneously, but it took months. The cure began, and the cure persisted until it was totally cured. Why? He was imbibing the word of God. The Lord is good. That is what we need. So if you want to face facts, face facts. But if you face faith, let me put it like that, faith creates the new experience. He could have faced the fact that he was sick and meditated upon that every day, but he did not. What did he do? He meditated upon the healing power that was on the cross. He said the cross of Christ is where all the answers are. You were the one telling me just now, Kimuti, that the man said that Paul used the word in Christ 160 times. 160 times. In how many letters? That means the man understood. No, he had the revelation. Forget it. He had the revelation of it. He understood that everything believers are looking for, everything God ever accomplished, he accomplished in Christ. So the focus of believers must be on what God has done for them in Christ. If you want to look at your environment, look through the eyes of Christ. On Saturday, when I continue teaching on that pursuit of, that, what do you call it now? The pursuit of God, yes. I will talk more about it. Faith is very vital. But let's get into our message for today. So please, let's bear those prayers in mind. I just wanted to emphasize it. Our country needs us. God needs us to do things in the environment. Without us, he cannot accomplish what he wants to accomplish, no matter how good. He needs us. We are the ones that he's using. And the thing we do is, like I said, we utter with our words. We prophesy his plan. We prophesy his purpose. And that begins to crystallize into reality. If you want to face the facts in quotes, which are debatable, that people are facing, we won't go anywhere. But if we continue to utter God's word, his blessing is downloaded by our prophesying into the earth. That's the point I wanted to make there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, we are starting the book of Ecclesiastes. Please, let's continue. Last time we finished in the book of, in chapter 2. And today, I hope that we'll be able to do chapter 3 and maybe stop there. I don't have any plans for going beyond chapter 3. Now, I had an idea when I was meditating about this. I said I will be including the conclusion that Solomon was driving at in everything we are saying. Now, let me just review this again, just for a minute or two, so that we can know exactly where we stopped. What we are looking at are the philosophical reasonings. And I need to emphasize that because people are still doing it today, trying to reason about life. I said it before, you don't have too much time. You can't waste your life becoming a philosopher. Philosophy, are you getting my point, has been put in the scriptures for you. All the, where does life start? What is life without God? All those kind of things. Solomon has done it. Don't worry yourself again. There is enough there. Solomon made his life an experiment. I've been emphasizing that. To tell us, don't bother researching these things. I've done it. Read the report. That's what it's about. And what Solomon was doing was looking at life under the sun. That's one expression you will find. Under the sun. I need to emphasize that today. Under the sun. That is, he was saying that let's look at human effort. That's the basic. That's the main thing he was looking at. What has our efforts got to contribute to what is going on the earth? That's what he was saying. Let's look at the things happening under the sun. A man gets up, a woman gets up in the morning, go out to go and hustle, join politics, let's change the country. What does that contribute? under the sun. The meaning of under the sun is that there is the heavens. In the other parts of the scriptures, we find out that the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4 that the heavens rule. That's what it said to Nebuchadnezzar. Heavens rule. What you find on the earth is determined in heaven. By faith, we understand that the words were framed. The words were framed by the word of God. So that the things that we see were not made out of the things that are visible. We know that by faith. But Solomon was speaking here as a man who did not know that. He was speaking. His wisdom allowed him to separate life from this thing that we understand from Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. Now, he was looking at the life from the eyes of a man who doesn't understand that. A man who gets up and says, let me see what I can do. And that's why we look at chapter 2. Solomon said, I have seen there's a constant cycle of the earth. The sea keeps on receiving water from the river. It's never full. And the river never gets tired of dumping water. You understand my point? This cycle has been determined. That's what it appears like. I need to emphasize this. What Solomon was saying, and we'll see it again as we go, and I'll keep on repeating it. He was contrasting it with things like, he said that the race is not to the swift. We'll get down to that later. The battle is not to the strong. You understand? Time and chance happen to all men. That is, when you see a man succeed, it's as if he succeeded by chance. It was not as if he was smarter than other people. All right? He said, it's not like that. It just appears as if, all right, chance happened to him. One of my colleagues, all right, he's a professor today, all right, and a specialist in his field. And one day he was telling me, he said, in their whole village, the school he went to from a very rural part of a middle belt, that there are very few graduates from their school from that area till now that we're speaking, okay? And that, how did it happen to him? His parents are not educated at all, at all, at all, at all. But and I was telling him something. He said, how did it happen to me like this? I don't know. He said, all my classmates, they didn't make it like this in life. He said, I was the 8th best in my class. Now that's what I'm talking about it. I said, why 8? He said, yes, I always came 8. You know, he said to me like this. He said, there were 7 people better than me in that school. What do you mean 7 people were better than you? How did you manage that? He said, because I always came 8th. If you do 10 exams, in the 10 exams, my position will be number 8. Now, are you following that now? He said that he was always number 8. But at the end of the day, he was number 1. Are you getting my point? In life, the other people didn't amount to much. But things just happened that, at least, that was when he was in primary school. Something happened and, you know, there are times when people just come to see, let's see how I can help these village people. That's how they picked him and he went to secondary school. You know, out of the place, and that's it. He read, he did sciences, he did okay, and next thing he knew that he was in one of Nigeria's top universities studying medicine, and then I said, look, that whatever I got to today, there were 7 people better than me. Why they didn't get there, I don't know. Many of those 7 people were older than him, stronger than him. Solomon said, it's as if time and chance happened. Then later on, when Paul was now going to speak, as a man who was looking above the sun, Solomon was speaking how? Under the sun. Paul now said, it is of God that shows mercy. You now say, was the mercy randomly picked? We'll look at that at another time. No. God has criteria for showing mercy. We won't talk about that now. When he says, I will be merciful to him, I will be merciful. It means I have picked the person to whom I will be merciful, and I will impose my mercy upon him. But when choosing that person, no. There are things he looks at. He said, the mercy of God endures upon those that fear him. That's one thing. The fear of God in the heart of man determines whether he will receive mercy or he will not receive mercy. But Solomon was explaining here that, listen, look at life under the sun. And what was his target? We must understand it. His target was to persuade man, was to persuade men, persuade people about the need to have God as the center of their lives. I said something last time that Solomon said, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. What is vanity? I said, vanity is human effort. I give an example. Assume it's hot, all right? And breeze blows on you, and then the breeze stops. You now start running, looking for the breeze. It must have gone this direction. You look like a madman. But you should turn around and look at where did it come from. It came from that fan. Where did it come from? There's a device over there that's rotating. Why did it stop rotating? Then you walk on that fan. You don't look at the breeze. What am I trying to say? The breeze is coming from the sun, from the fan. In the same manner, the blessings come from God. So Solomon was saying, if you pursue the blessing, you are mental. Are you getting my point? You should pursue the source of the blessing. What is the source of the blessing? It is God. And you see, that's what I want to look at today. Many times I've heard people speak. Now, please, I'm giving a background now at this point to today's chapter 3. People speak a lot of times. They look at it and say, the problem with Africa. And the story starts. It is because we don't know how to do this. One of my classmates those days, he asked me a question. I had a lot of respect for him until that day. He said, Avanki, is it true that it's because Nigeria does not have enough Christians? That's why this is not now. This was 1989. Incidentally, that was 27 years ago. 28 years now, later on this year. 27 years and a few months. So is it because Nigeria doesn't have enough Christians? That's why things are like this. But Avanki, that was in power at that time. He said, what do I think? I thought he was asking a reasonable question. I thought he wanted to hear an answer. I said, no, that's not really like that. That is just that the Christians who are there are not praying. They are not doing what they are supposed to be doing. And they laughed at me that I should get away. And I made a statement that made him lose respect for him. He said, we can't plan our country. That Americans got together, Europeans got together and planned their country very well. And it turned out well. We are seeing people who don't know how to pray. Up to that time, I had a lot of regard for him. Now, my respect for him dropped, not because he was not a man of faith, because I said, you are very foolish. How can 200 million people gather together to plan anything? You don't know life. I realized that he didn't know anything. You are telling me 200 million people gather together to plan? Forget that. It's not possible. Some things are not possible. Human beings don't have that capacity to gather in agreement. They don't have it. The people who rule those countries, they've testified that it looks like there's something moving us. It's not us. There's a force directing development. It's not us. You see that as I go. I want to explain that today. What Solomon was trying to say. Looking under the sun. Now, please, you have to follow this very closely. He said, looking under the sun, you will look at this. They happen like, it just appears as if there is nothing controlling it. What I'm trying to say is that human efforts can't control them, but we don't know what is controlling them. It's as if the time has been set by who we don't know. Like later we say, like, God did this. He will drop it in. But he was trying to say, what Solomon's emphasis was, this portion we are going to, actually from chapter 2, he was emphasizing the futility of human effort. That's what he was emphasizing. The futility of human effort. We'll read this in a moment, but like, I just know, I want to just quickly pick a few things I will say last time. Or because I mentioned the word human effort now. I just want to use that one to emphasize something, just to review what we said last time. Listen, Solomon was emphasizing, futility is human labor. It's not those things, but the effort people put into doing those. I made a statement last time, all right? That Solomon would say, I got that for myself. He talked about his effort. I amassed this. I made a pond for irrigating a forest of trees. At the end of the day, he said, all is vanity. I said something that Solomon never, and he could never have said, I contemplated the stars and it was vanity. There are things that he could not have said. Why? Those were the works of God. Solomon could not have said, I looked at how trees were growing and I said it is vanity. What Solomon was saying is that I observed the cycles of life and I noticed that no matter what human beings do in trying to break those cycles, it is vanity. It is human effort that's always vanity. What am I saying? Solomon was teaching us, in effect, looking at this, learn to connect with God. That's why at the end of the day, he said, fear God, obey his commandment. This is the whole duty of man. That's where he was going. He was telling people, like I said, you know, the first day, let nobody come and tell you, these are the 17 principles for business success. Christians, forget it. If you want teaching people how to succeed in business, teach them what is right to do. What Christians are supposed to have is what I call the love of righteousness. He said, for you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity or wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has given you business success. I paraphrase that scripture now. When David was speaking, he said, for you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. It is not because you know how to be glad. It is not because you know how to be anointed. It is because you loved righteousness. So when the Christian wants to learn business principles, you don't learn how to succeed. You learn to do what is right. That if there are 17 keys to learn, 20 keys, make sure there are 20 keys on doing what is right. I've heard a man speak before, speaking about success in business. He made a statement and I said, no, They didn't teach you well. Or maybe you're not a Christian. You just arrived in this place because somebody invited you. So if you work in a company, you say, never love the company because the love company can't love you back. Did you hear what I said? Never love the company because the company cannot love you back. And why was he called to speak? He was successful. A man being successful does not qualify him to talk. Because the Bible says he himself does not know how. Often that is the issue. I remember when I was in school those days, there was one brother, very brilliant student, best in his class, the kind of person that would go for what we call second MBA and collect 3 distinctions. Brilliant chap. And then, of course, different fellowships would invite him to come and speak. He was my senior. And one of my friends said something once. He said, I don't want to hear this guy talk. He said, I don't want to hear him talk. I said, why? He said, what is he going to say? He said, do you see the way he reads like he wants to die? Who wants to read like that? He said, I want him to come and tell me how God helped somebody. He said, look at the way this guy. Really, that guy could sleep 3 hours in a day, maximum. It was his life. Exam time, 3 hours max in a day. So my friend said, I beg, please, come and teach me godliness. This one is not godliness. And he was right. Because the Bible says it is vain to rise up early and go to bed late. He said, God giveth to his beloved even while they sleep. I was teaching students yesterday, and I still give them a testimony of my life. God has blessed me like that before. Read Ben Carson's story, Gifted Hands. You see God blessing him like that. When he was frustrated, it looked like he was going to fail. And God sent an angel to solve questions for him. He was watching the screen as an angel was solving. And after a while, he's as if he woke up and the person was gone. Next day, what was on the board yesterday was what the examiner was asking for. What he needed to do was recollect just last night's experience. One of my brothers in school those days was heading our fellowship choir. He said one day they had a lot of issues, you know, rehearsals, meetings, and he had an exam, big course. So he went to class to go and read. He read for a while. He told himself, let me go and worship. So he went to sports complex and he went to go and pray and sing songs to the Lord. And then he returned to class. He sat down and read 5 topics and went to sleep. Came back for exam next day, 5 questions answer all. Just the 5 topics he read last night after prayer. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It is of the Lord that shows mercy. So if you want to learn in life, learn what you call business principles. Principles of not only business. Now, another place where we lie to people a lot. Those who don't know what they are saying, he himself does not know how. Marriage, ministry. Yes, another one. Business, marriage, ministry. 3 areas where people confuse people a lot. They come and tell you the 7 keys. I've been married now. You know, I like to brag on it because I see many people here. There are a few egbons, but all them, Okemute, Zuchuku, I see all of them. Wewe Chooks, I see you. Well. At least I have crossed 17 years as a married man. You won't clap. Look at all these single boys. They don't want to clap. Even if you marry today, you can't be 17 years for the next 17 years. By which time I'll be doing 34. I look and I've looked at everything. These things don't have principles. It's fear God, obey his commandments. Just learn what is right to do. That's what I'm talking about. Is this thing right? Don't do things because of what you are going to get. Now, keep on saying that thing. When you do like this, your husband will not do like this. Now do like this. You do like this, your wife will now do like this. God is waiting for you. The day you do it, you finish doing everything. Maybe you say, cook the best meal, arrange the house properly. The man comes home, and the eye is paining him that day. What about the best meal? He has malaria. Appetite gone. Okay, he has Apollo. With his whole body hot, he has fever, his nose is blocked and everything. The food he can't eat. I can't even see properly. He said, I have photophobia, he wears dark glasses. And you go on the vex, for everything I've done, you are not appreciating. It is God that says he will not see it. Because this is not the key. If you want to do what is right, learn it and do it constantly. I need to emphasize that for us believers. Let nobody tell us these things are the keys. We are supposed to love righteousness. And just learn to do righteousness because we are righteous people. Righteousness is good. Are you getting my point? Yes, doing right is good. Whether we gain from it or not, it is just good. When it comes to blessing, when it comes to good things happening, you see, Solomon said it's a gift of God. Let's bear that in mind. So that's just the preamble to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So that's what we've been looking at. Last time we ended by saying, listen, when we read the latter part of chapter 2, let me just read that one, then we're now going to chapter 3. So Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. For to a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner, he has given the task of gathering and collecting, so that he may give to the one who is good in God's sight. This too, he says, is vanity and striving after wind. Now remember, it was that striving to gather and collect that he was talking about as vanity. But he said what God actually gives is what? Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And I said last time, let me just repeat it again. Locate yourself here. Are you a man, a woman of vanity? Or you are a man, a woman receiving wisdom, knowledge, and joy from the Lord? Locate yourself. That's just where we stopped last time. Now let's now read chapter 3. Now this is one of the most well-known portions of the book of Ecclesiastes. Now I'm going to read the number of verses. We'll probably stop around verse 11, somewhere around there. Verse 1. He said, there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. Remember, Solomon is looking under heaven. And he's talking about human effort. There's an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones. He said, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Now, please, before we read verse 9, let me quickly point something out. If you look at it closely, verses 2 to 8 are in brackets, they are in parentheses. The correct flow is this. From verse 1, there is an appointed time for everything and there is a time for every event under heaven. Then verse 9, what profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? That's how it's supposed to go. Between verse 8 and verse 2 and verse 8, it's supposed to be like in brackets. There is a time for everything. I began to give you a breakdown on different things that have different times. But his train of thought is straight from 1 to 9. There is a time, an appointed time for everything, and a time for everything under heaven. Now, if it's like that, what profit is there to the worker from that in which he toils? I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men, verse 10, I mean now, with which to occupy themselves. Please note these words. Occupy. Occupy. God has given men a task. And the task is supposed to do what? Occupy them. Occupy until I come. Remember that expression from the Lord Jesus. Do business till I come. He said, now, this is the occupation they have. He has, verse 11 now, he has made everything beautiful or appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts, yet so that man will not find out what the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, what is it that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor? It is the gift of God. Let me stop here, all right? I will come back, continue reading in a moment. I need to explain this at this point. Now, this is a very well-known portion of the book of Ecclesiastes, like I said. There is a time for everything. Now, this is how we interpret it mostly. It's not totally wrong, but that's not what Solomon was saying. If you want to interpret it the way I'm about to say, it is an application of just the statement. But Solomon was saying something differently. Different. Now, how do we interpret it normally? It's simple. There is a time to get up, a time to sleep. So we'll say morning is a time to get up, night is a time to sleep, right? There's a time to do this. That is, we look at time appropriate for something. So you tell somebody, this is not the time to buy a car, it's wrong. This is the time to buy it. This is not the time to wear Christmas dress. This is the time to wear it. You can't, are you getting my point here? So we look at the appropriateness of each event that we want to do, looking at the situation around. Even though that is correct, that is very, very good. It's correct. It's an application of this scripture. It's not exactly what Solomon was saying. We're just applying. What was Solomon saying? Solomon said, you look back, you look at the events under the sun happening on the earth. It looks like the time that Buhari will be president has been determined. It has nothing to do with APC. The time Donald Trump will be president was determined. There is a time for every event under heaven. The time, do you get my point? That this child will be born was determined. It was not because of the will of the father or the will of the mother. Are you getting my point? That's what Solomon was saying. He said, if you see somebody born, the time was determined. Those people, look, let me give you an example. Febi Dausa. I don't know how many of you know Febi Dausa. That's current head of Church of God Mission, the bishop, all right? The mother is the archbishop, I think. Yeah. Yes, he's a bishop. He's the one that actually runs most things. He's married to, a childhood sweetheart, a white girl, all right? His wife is white. They met, I think, when the girl's father, also a preacher, came to Nigeria. They met when they were little children. And according to her, she just liked him. So Feb's wife is pure white. Now, I read this story because I got one woman talked to me about her book and all of that. So I read their story. So and as I read some of the stories in the papers about how they had children. For years after they married, she did not conceive. Now, these are influential people. They have resources. She's an American. So, he's schooled abroad. But let me not get into people's personal stories now, but those in the papers, so that's why I can talk about it. But he said that many times they will go abroad, do IVF, do all kinds of doctors, we try everything. Guess what? Everything will fail. Then she will get tired. Say, I know they do again. Then she will conceive. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Yes. Then she will conceive. And I think that happened a number of times. That is when she put in all the effort that, medically speaking, she work. Not in Nigeria. She goes to America to do it. At the end of the day, I read this in the papers. She testified herself, everything will fail. Then she just relaxed and said, okay, God, now so you like him. Next thing she knows, she's pregnant. She's delivered another baby. You are getting my point here? That's what Solomon was saying. Solomon said, I stood back and I was looking at it. I said, the time you have that baby was determined. That's what Solomon was saying. When he said there is a time for everything, that's exactly what, that no matter what it is, that even if it's time, a husband and wife are happy. He said, I have noticed that, okay, let me give an example as a preacher. There is a time for good message. People say, you fast and pray before you preach. Apostle, you know the truth. The more you fast, the more you pray before you come to preach, the drier the message. The hottest messages are the ones they didn't tell you ahead you are going to preach. You just go home. Your wife just says, so are you not going to preach? You said, why should I go and preach? You said they invited you. Today. He's a meeting. When? In 2 hours' time. They start looking, what will I wear? And that time there's no power. You can't even iron. So you... Finally, he said, where's your letter? Where's the letter? The letter of invitation, where is it again? They look at the letter of invitation. They said, timing accurately the second coming of Christ. I'm supposed to give you that one between... That they told you this 6 weeks ago, you didn't remember. It's then go for your wife. Then you rush down there, you didn't fasting. What are you saying? You are tired. You just managed to look anything that you see bread, your children ate half of it. You can only eat the balance half, drink something, and disappear. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When they call you up to the pulpit, when you open your mouth, suddenly God gives you a mouth and a wisdom. Are you getting my point? The anointing starts flowing. Anointing starts flowing. If I have the personal experience like that one, we went for one of our senior brothers was getting married. This was, those are the ones we see very young people. So one of our seniors was about to get married. So they said, okay, we're not doing like what they call like fellowship for him. Anyway, have a kind of fellowship, everybody gather together. So one brother came up to me and said, Banky, you are going to preach. And we were there happy, you know, we traveled down. Yeah, man, wedding is happening. Okay, what's happening today? He said, Banky, you will preach. I said, preach, okay. I said, no, now you're just telling me now And the preaching time, that they're already singing and clapping, it's time to call the preacher. That was when they looked at and said, who can preach there? Banky is there now, yeah? Let him come and preach. So I refused. Then I scanned the crowd, scanned the congregation. I realized the only other person they can call upon is a man getting married. That was why I accepted. Because I told the brother who told me, I said, this is not fair. The preaching is coming up in a few minutes. It's now you are telling me. I said, I beg, find somebody else. So he said, who now? So I got up, I went outside to go and pray small and meditate small. I wrote one or two things down. And I came back, and then it was time they called me, I came. I still remember the message. The remnant of the house of Judah shall first take root downwards and bear fruit upwards. I began to bear fruit. You get my point? I mean, I enjoyed the message. At the end of the day, they told me that this happened on a campus, that for the next one or two semesters, that was the central theme of everybody else talking. The remnant of Judah is taking root downwards and bearing fruit upward. Why? Because of a message I preached unprepared. Solomon said, there's a time for good message, my guy. It's not your preparation. Please, I hope you are getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
Now remember, he's looking under the sun. Because what I need to emphasize is that he's not trying to tell us to live carelessly. He was saying that I have observed it. Many times people prepare for change, change, change. Change does not come. Many times they just relax and say, we are tired, we don't even want change again. Then change comes. Moses did everything to stir the people of Israel up so that they could go for deliverance. You know what happened? He failed. The very people that he was saying should get up, let's look for deliverance from this oppression, were the ones that said, I've been warning you. Who made you a judge over us? Oh, you want to kill me now? The way you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Moses realized that, man, things don't spoil. Most importantly, they were not even with him. Then the Lord now instructed Moses to leave Egypt. Of course, if you listen to our series, it's in a compilation, there's one single DVD. You can get the whole thing and listen to it. Learning from Moses. I explained in there that Moses did not run from Pharaoh. The Lord instructed him to leave. Moses was ready to die in Egypt at that time. That was how much zeal he had. If you go and, how did I know that? It's written clearly in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. He said he left Egypt not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh. So when he left Egypt, it was obedience to an instruction, an angel, something. God appeared to him one way or the other and said, get out from here. It is not now. So, and they know God is very funny. Following God is faith. What did I say?
Faith.
It's faith. Why? Because after God said to Moses, go, he left. 40 years, God did not talk to him again. But we won't talk about that now. But to let you know, the time of deliverance. So Solomon was looking from outside. Solomon said, okay, Moses. He said, it's not your gra-gra that delivers people. People get delivered when the time for deliverance comes. Once a friend of mine and I were speaking. Now, please don't forget this. That's looking under the sun. What did I say? I want to hear it again. What I needed to emphasize is that there is an operation in the heavenly realms that control the things on the earth. So Christians, I need to just digress into that. Christians must recognize that that's where they are supposed to work. That is where they are supposed to put in their effort. If they want to put in any effort, it must be spiritual effort. When that effort has been put in, God now decrees. This was what Solomon was saying. That without God, if you look at earth, it's as if things have just been determined. You don't know what is happening. But Paul explained to us later, it is of God that shows mercy. What am I trying to say? The time of deliverance is when God decrees and says, the time for deliverance has come. Which was what happened to Moses. A time came, the Lord said, now I have heard the cries of my people, not the shouting of Moses. I have heard the cries of my people, not the gru, 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 gra, 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 and the agitation of Moses. When they shouted against Pharaoh, I didn't listen to them. But when they cried to me, I listened. Then from the heavens I now decreed that the time for deliverance has come. At that time, Moses was no longer interested in deliverance. Then God now said, time to deliver people. Moses said that, I think it's a bit too late for that. God said, no, it is the season for deliverance. He said, send somebody else. Why should I send somebody else? Because I cannot talk. Don't worry, you will talk. I'm the one that created the mouth. Moses said, I refuse to receive that manifestation by faith. Yeah, because when God says that, you need to say amen. Moses did not say amen. So what did God do? He said, all right, I will send somebody. At that time, he had moved Aaron, coming to visit. So he said, Aaron will be your prophet. At that point, it was time for deliverance. Moses was not even the one pushing for it. The time was not happening to him. So someone said, time and chance happened to all men. Are you getting that here? Solomon said time and chance was not happening to Moses. That is, it was time that happened to Moses. But looking under the sun, you just see that Moses is not your effort. It was just time that happened to you. But if we look beyond the sun, we now see it was God that issued a decree and said it is time for deliverance. That woman I was saying, she did everything. But until God said it is time to conceive, she did not. Very important we get those points. I hope you're getting my point here. So that's what that chapter 3 was saying from verses, of course, from verse 1, but then amplified between verse 2 and verse 8. A time to be silent, a time to speak. He was not saying that you must know whether this time is good for talking. He said, a time will come, you will have nothing to say. Are you getting my point? You may have something to say, nobody will ask you to talk. You may want to talk, but nobody is listening. That is, it is a season for your silence. You want to talk, they lock you in prison. You talk too much, they put you in solitary confinement. You look at the wall, that is a time to be silent. It is not as if I have made up my mind, this is not a good time to talk. The time will come for me to talk. No. You can't talk. Are you getting my point here?
Yes, sir.
I mean, give you an example. One of the greatest pressures I ever had in my life was to preach. From the time I left school, I've told the story many times, I wanted to preach. But nobody invited me to preach, I did not have a ministry. So I would lie down in my room. I still remember these days, I would lie down on the floor and face the wall and be sharing revelation with the wall. That if you open Genesis chapter 1, the wall, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The wall is there. You are talking to me. I'm not joking. I literally used to lie down, like that and preach to the wall. Because there's nobody to listen to me. When I'm tired of the wall, I literally will come out, take a stroll on the road at night. Why night? So that nobody will realize how mad I am. Because during the day, they will call psychiatrists for you. But at night, they can't see. So I'll be there. Romans chapter 1. For this cause, the wrath of God, you know, I'm quoting scripture and I'm preaching, I'm decoding revelation until I'm tired and I go back to my room. That was a time to be silent. It wasn't as if I didn't want to talk. There was nowhere to talk. But now he says it's time to speak. This is now my time to speak. And that's why you are here. You are part of the time to speak. There have been days, ask my wife, in which I am tired. I lie down in my house. I don't want to go out. But it is time to speak. There are times my wife will look and say, or will you call Okemute? I say, what will I tell him that I'm at home lying down? Why, you know, this one I remember very well. There have been days I've been ill. No body. My wife will ask, how are you feeling? Are you sure you can preach today? My mind is that it is time to speak. What can you do? So any little iota of strength left. There was a day my wife even annoyed me. She have told you about being tired, being worn out. What about when you're angry? An angry preacher is a bad one. So I remember that day. This one happened. The one I'm thinking about is one day now, a few years ago. So I was about to pick my phone to say I can't come for Bible study today because my spirit was upset. Then something dropped in my mind. In heaven, this accusation against your wife. I still remember that day very well. Because just before I called Israel, I think Okemute, this was maybe like 2 years ago, something just dropped by. So what will you tell God? The woman thou givest me is the reason I'm not preaching today. I said, for her sake, that day, the love is powerful. Yeah, no, if you don't understand spiritual things, I realized that if I stayed at home, it would be accusation against my wife. So I came for Bible study. Because they would say, why are you at home? What will you say? The woman you gave us me annoyed me so much. It disturbed my spirit. I cannot connect with heaven. So I had to put aside every, how do you say again? Every weight and sin that does easily hinder the anointing. You get my point? Easily be said. I had to put it aside and come to preach. Why? It is the time to speak. That's what Solomon was saying. He was saying a season comes in your life. You know it is time to speak. This time to speak was appointed. It was determined. You are no longer interested in speaking. Like he told Moses, it's time to speak. Moses said, I don't want to speak. He said, you will go and tell Pharaoh, thus says the Lord. But I will stammer while I say it. Don't worry. You just whisper it to Aaron. Aaron will echo it. It is a time to speak. Solomon was saying, this is what I have observed. That is not when men determine that these times happen. These times happen before they enter into the picture. Let me explain what I'm going to say. You know, I just use another illustration. I've used this one many times. That when I first heard James Kennedy preach this, apparently they teach it in theology schools. He said that for Paul to travel around and propagate the gospel the years after the Lord Jesus, God made the Romans prepare the roads he would travel on. So that's why I talked about the Roman road. That this modern day Roman road is the internet. The messages we preached last week, they're already online for people, that is, we sent around by email for people to download. People who are not in Nigeria already listened to the same messages we listened to here just about a week and a half ago. It's the Roman road. Books, all right, that we are releasing. Every month, if I check their number of downloads from our books, if we wanted to sell them paper copies, what goes out in a month, we can't sell it in a year. People downloading every day. No, because on the website, the way they are designed, you can go to the statistics page and check all the downloads. The number of books, hundreds, maybe, definitely every year, tens of thousands of copies are downloaded. Yearly. I recognize that Roman road. People say, sell it. I say, no. Anytime if you put a price, it's going to be a bit difficult. You are going to hinder it. And I don't want to hinder the movement of the truth. Not like I don't like money. Me and money are not enemies. Just that it's not priority. If I want to put a price tag on it, it's not really the money that's the issue. It's that I found it to be an unnecessary hindrance. So that's why we do what we do. That's how come every month, thousands of downloads of our messages, books, and stuff like that is the Roman road for this modern time. Now, people who don't understand will now say, you see, Americans put their acts together. They develop the internet. Solomon said, you don't know anything when you say things like that. The time for everything was determined. It was the time for the internet. The blueprint is heavenly. The design is by angels. The angels delivering them to men. God in heaven planned these things ahead. Solomon said, there's a time for everything. That was what he meant when he was saying those things. Like I said earlier, we have a lot of applications, a lot of ways we can apply them. We cannot say, okay, oh, there's a time to wake up, there's a time to sleep. Do you understand? Yeah, these are applications. But what Moses was saying exactly was that 1960, the season of independence for Nigeria, was not determined because Obafemi Awolowo, Nnamdi Azikiwe, and Tafawa Balewa, and all those men, you know, that they came together and shrugged off the tyranny of the British. No. People have fought more than them, and they've been killed and buried, and nobody knows their history till today. Once a friend of mine was talking about they should put the days of Abacha. Those people just get angry with the government that they think they should impose sanctions on Nigeria. I said, when you impose sanctions, the people it hurts least are the people you're angry with. The people that it hurts most are the common people. And I said to him, I said, by the way, where have you seen sanctions work? He said, South Africa. And I kept quiet. I said, you don't know anything. Sanctions, South Africa, is not true. Sanctions did not end apartheid in South Africa. Those guys were ready to live with their sanctions permanently. They had adjusted to it. What is sanctions? There were countries trading with them. Israel, that everybody's making us want to be friends of Israel. Israel was their friend. Many countries were trading with them. Look, listen. Sanctions did not end apartheid in South Africa. How did apartheid in South Africa end? There was a time to end it. So he said, look, it was a season that was determined. These things were determined above the heavens, that is, in the heavens. But when we look on the earth, those who have been keen to observe have found out that it's not human effort that produced these things. Solomon, with wisdom, observed and said human effort did not produce internet. Human effort did not set Nigeria free from British colonialism. Human effort did not end apartheid in South Africa. People have tried to fight for freedom. They've been murdered. They've been killed. They've been buried. And nobody knew about them ever. Freedom fighters have risen up and they've died. And they throw their bodies into the waters, into the lagoon. Just bury them in the bush and you never find out. People have fought for a very long time. The people you give all the victory, the glory to are those that happen to be the voices speaking in the time of freedom. There is a time for everything. Once if people talk about, now, please, this is not to take away from the old man, Nelson Mandela. He's a very respected black man everywhere. But you know, when I read this story, I said, this is what we are saying. Nelson Mandela was just the icon, the poster person for the freedom in South Africa. Don't forget, he was in jail most of those years. By the time he was coming out of prison, apartheid was over. I don't know whether I get my point. The reason why he came out was that apartheid was over. Many of his colleagues died in the process. Many. Many that you don't even know their names. There are a few that you hear their names. But many died in the process. But God kept him alive. Now, Desmond Tutu said something then. He said he told Frederick de Klerk, Abby. Yeah, that was his name, de Klerk. A very, very inspired statement. He told the man that, watch the times. This is the time when apartheid will come to an end. This is the time when the oppression of the black people is coming to an end. He said, just choose and be on the right side. Because no matter what you do, it will happen. That's what I wanted to quote. That was what Desmond Tutu told him. That, listen, this is the season. You agree, oh? You not agree, oh? If you like, agree. If you like, disagree. It will happen. So in your own best interest, just choose to be on the side of what God is doing. That was what Solomon was saying. Let me bring it down home. If you like, hustle from now till tomorrow, until God says it's time for you to prosper materially, you get nothing. People have hustled more than you. You think you're the master hustler? People have hustled and hustle killed them. The fact about life, you know, I keep on telling you, read the Bible. Forget all these stories of how to be rich. Most men who are rich, who made it materially, who are successful in life, they tell you stories which, because I've read the Bible, I say these stories are not balanced. These are the keys. You do that. I say everything you did, there are men who did it at the same time as you. Same age, same height, same everything. Did exactly the same thing. They failed. But we don't know why. Because who wants to listen to the story of a man who failed? How would you like to buy a book, 250 pages, how I failed in business and I'm dead right now? Even if it's a story of failure, you want to hear the story of a man who has succeeded and said, how I failed 7 times, then I made it. You say, okay, let me see. 7 things to avoid on the path to success so you will not fail in the process. That's what you want to read. The fact is that what the Lord Jesus said is so true. He himself does not know how. That's why he said there is an appointed time for everything. When we're looking under the sun. Please remember under the sun. And what was he saying here? Remember I said Solomon was hacking and going against human effort. He was saying, listen, it is not your effort. It's not your hustle. It's not your ability. That's what I'm going to tell Christians. Please always remember this. Whatever you want to do, do it because it's the right thing to do. It is right for you to wake up in the morning and go about your business. It's the right thing to do. It is right to be hardworking. That scripture, go to the ant, thou sluggard. God does not like sluggards. Lazy people. Laziness is a sin with God. No, with him, it's a sin. When he made a man, he said, look at this garden I've made, it's very beautiful. Now you will guard it and keep it. You will tend it. You will cultivate it. He didn't make the man to sit down there and just be saying, "Ah, just look at fruit. We just eat fruit, climb fruit, eat, sleep. Then when God comes, you worship for 5 hours, and then God goes again, you go back to sleep." That's not God. In fact, your body will revolt. So it is right, therefore, to get up and do something. If you are working, it's right to be diligent, to be honest, to move with integrity. That's what I was saying earlier. Whatever you are doing, learn what is right for the Christian to do. Anything you want, you ask God for it. I pray Christians understand this. If having been cured of covetousness, if having been cured of greed, you still sit down, all right, and it's not greed and competition that's your motivation, and you say, "God, I want to be a billionaire counting in dollars. There are important things I need to do." He will do it. He said, "I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country." He will send a man from India, from America, from Australia, from South Africa, from Nigeria. They will gather together. They will come and make David king. They will make a billionaire sitting in Enugu right here. Life is not an accident. But look at what Moses said. What Solomon said. Having explained that, verse 9, he said, "What profit, therefore, is there to the worker for that in which he toils?" That is, if you are saying there is a time for everything, then why are we working? Are you following the sense there? Okay, you are telling me now there is a time for everything. It is going to happen anyway. Good News Bible says, "What do we gain from all our work?" If you say there is a time for everything, God has set the right time for everything, then what do we gain? I like the way Solomon answered it. You will see what he was saying here. He said, "I have seen the task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves." Jesus said, "Occupy until I come." Some men one day created the internet, developed computers. He said, "They are the reasons for their technological advancement." God said, "No. They were occupied. When I needed somebody, I knew who to pick." Are you getting my point here? And that's why I say to everybody in life now, we are deducing this from the observations of Solomon. This is not the word of God yet. It's just Solomon observing life. Solomon was just saying that each man was created to be occupied. That God has given each person a task to be occupied with. The task he'll be occupied with, now I'm adding my own words now, depends on the kind of person he is. How God is using everything, he said, they don't really know. Look at verse 11. He said, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man would not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end." This verse 11 is quite twisted, difficult to interpret, but I'll tell you the understanding I have of it. First of all, I'll read different translations. Let me read New Living Translation. He said, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to end. Now, let me see how Good News says that. That's verse 11. It says, "He has set the right time for everything. He has given us a desire to know the future. He never gives us the satisfaction of fully understanding what he does." Many years ago, I listened to Miles Morrow. He was talking about purpose. He said that if you find a man in a great assembly plant, he has his job description. He may see like a building construction site, that's what he used. A great skyscraper, the architect designed it. God is the architect. They share the work for everybody. So one man's job is, according to Miles Morrow, weld this to this, weld this to that. He doesn't understand how that ties to the whole building or to the whole car. But what is my job? Weld this to this, weld that to that. He said, every day I come, I weld this to this and weld that to that. And Solomon said that, listen, God has not given us the satisfaction of knowing how this fits into his general picture. And that is an accurate observation. I told you, over the last few weeks now, I've been observing life. Suddenly I'm understanding. Now, let me see, like in Hagin, we see whether I can say this humbly or not. I'm understanding why God planted me, Banky, in Enugu at this season. When I was coming to Enugu, I didn't have any plan that God has any great plan. I just know God has an assignment for my life. And what is the thing? Go and preach. And through many methods, I knew that where God will send me to, that's where ministry work will start. Then, when first time we came here, just my wife and I prayed over this place and said that from here, the gospel will reach the ends of the earth. How it will do it, I did not know. This idea of having internet, how to upload messages was not in my mind. In fact, the day one woman saw me, one evening I went for a church service, just said, Pastor Mark, I'm looking for you. I'm starting a television, station. And I wanted to come on it. That was the first time I realized that we could go on TV actually. And then one day I was in my office, my phone rang. International call. Make a long story short, it was from Kenya. When I talked to the person, he said, you remember me? He said, I'm just watching you on TV. I was in Enugu here. And I got a call. One lady I knew on campus. Alright? She's a missionary now. Alright? In Kenya. At that time. Last time I saw her, she was working in Winners Chapel. Then apparently she got married and she and her husband went to Kenya to go and do a ministry work. She said, I'm watching TV and guess who I saw? You. So I've forgotten how she now said she got my number. Maybe it was the number on the screen. Yes, there was a number on the screen. She called the number and the number was with me. And just, I said, who is this? And he said, she's the one. Ah, long time. How are you? So I'm watching you on TV from Kenya. I did not plan that when I was coming to Enugu. Are you getting my point here? Now, so this season, now it doesn't mean I understand everything. But this season, I suddenly realized the importance of some of the things that I'm preaching. This season. God is the architect. He has planned things. And Solomon was telling us here that he has put eternity in their hearts. That is, I like the way both New Living Translation and Good News says it. He said he never gives us the satisfaction of fully understanding what he does. Now, Solomon now came to a conclusion. He said, when I understood all of this, I now came to a conclusion. Now, follow his conclusion. Where are we? Verse 11. He has made everything appropriate in his time. He has also set eternity in their hearts. Yes, so that man will not find out the work which he does from the beginning to the end. He said, now this is the conclusion of Solomon in verse 12. As a result of this, he was saying, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that everyone who eats and drinks is good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever, and there is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him. Let me just end verse 15. That which is has been already, and that which will be has already been. For God seeks what has passed by. Now, let's look at this. What was Solomon saying here? Now that we understand all of these things, he said, what do we do? We should just enjoy what we are doing. He said, if you find the importance of what you are doing displayed in your lifetime, is a gift of God. I don't know whether you get my point here. That is, if you invented a microchip, you invented a processor, and you saw how that transformed education. It is not because you had the ability to transform education. It's not because you had the ability to transform ministry. But God just said, this is the season in which I'm building the modern day Roman road, like I was saying earlier, connecting everything through the internet. And then you now see your labor being used. He says it's a gift of God. I hope you're getting my point here. That's why, listen, some of the story about patenting this, patenting that in the world, God, you're looking at everybody. Some of the things you patent is not your own. I don't know whether you get the point. And let me tell you something. There is no technology human beings ever invented that the blueprint was not sent to the earth by God through his angels. There's none. What the Lord just gives each person to do, at each season, there is a work that you have been committed to do. What God is doing overall, he said you will not know. But each time, you will find your relevance in your life. How do you get to that point? Solomon was explaining. He said, just enjoy what you are doing today. That's what he was saying. Please, I hope you're following my point here. So what is the significance of that for us, children of God? This applies to us. Life has been planned. Like I said, Solomon was looking under the sun. But we have understanding. By faith, we understand these things. By faith, we know that the words were framed by the word of God. So that the things that we see are not made out of the things that are visible. The things that happen is not because of human effort. That's what the Hebrews was saying also. Solomon was saying, well, how do we therefore react? We discover the purpose of God for each moment. I say this to Christians all the time. It is not possible to have a long-term plan. It is not possible. If you have it, it will fail. If it doesn't fail, you are not blessed. That's all. Yes. This is, look, Solomon observed it in life. And that is a practical aspect of life. You know, my son is writing JAMB now, wants to go to university and all of that. So, I asked him questions like, okay, what would you like to do? He said he wanted to do this. I said, look, well, that's not a course you go to university to go and study. That, all right, you can learn that in your spare time. What would you go to university to go and study? You would like to be a doctor? No. Why? I don't like the idea. Fine, there's no problem about that. I told him, I said, it's not your fault. Your father is a preacher. That is why. All right. We kept on talking. This is where I'm going. And I said, sat him down. That was about the 2 days ago. It was yesterday night. I said, 2 days ago. Anyway, and I sat him down. And I began to tell him things. And that's what I'm talking about. I said, your father is a preacher. That's me. I said, I did not study preaching in school. I studied medicine. Most people don't. That is, it's only when I mention it, you realize I actually have a bachelor's in medicine and in surgery. And I'm a fellow of the West African College of Pathologists. You understand? Physicians, all right? Faculty of Pathology. Most people don't. It doesn't even cross your mind. I told him, I said, listen, school, now listen to this. University is to get you educated and to have you mature. I said, what you will become in life, forget it, it's not tied to that. That you go to university to learn and mature, just to have your mind open. You can't just sit in your father's house growing. You have to go somewhere to grow. Yeah. Yes. I said, that's what university is about. You go there to go and grow. You get to open your mind. I said, what you will be in life is not... Look, and I told him something. I said, what we like and what we don't like is not what determines what we are supposed to be. He was sitting down listening to me. I said, God appoints us for what we are supposed to be. I said, I didn't grow up desiring to be a preacher. I remember all the things I wanted to be in life. There was a time I wanted to be a pilot. Most young boys wanted to be pilots at the point in time, if you know. Most boys, girls didn't know, understand why anybody should be a pilot. They wanted to be air hostess, but boys wanted to be pilots. Yes. There was a time I wanted to join, I was hoping to grow up and join Air Force. Why? Their cap. That cap was the only reason on earth a little boy wants to be a soldier. That's so I can just wear that cap and salute like this. Nothing more. Yes. We kept on wanting to be this, wanting to be that. Then one day, I said I wanted to be a doctor. And then my parents said, okay, good. And I did my science courses and all of that. And I ended in university and I became a doctor. But while I was in university, God said, you will be a preacher. I told him when I was 7, I met a guy that had a bachelor's in theology from a theological seminary affiliated to university. So he didn't go to university the way you and I know university. He went to a theological seminary affiliated to university. That's how come he has a BA in theology. He told me that by the time we're done with NYC, after speaking with me, that I challenged him to go and read the Bible. He had a BA in theology. He wrote me a letter afterwards that you challenged me to read the scriptures. Because when we'll be talking, all right, bachelor's, that's all he studied. I came for NYC after my internship as a doctor. And he and I will be talking. He will say something. There was a day I read Hebrews chapter 1 for him in Hebrews. That's Genesis chapter 1. And I gave him a quote for it in the Hebrew language. He said, where did you hear that? And how did I hear it? We hear things. I just don't know how to say it. We don't hear things. And I had a Bible. That's all I read. I was telling my son this. That you see, I went to university to go and grow. To go and mature. It was on campus I became a Christian leader. Became a campus fellowship, president. Okay? I was on campus that we learned the word of faith. All those things put together, I said, my boy, that is why I am a preacher today. I even told him jokingly, I said, even your mother, it was not my idea, it was God. Say, this girl, of course he will laugh. Are you getting my point? That God controls our lives, though. So it is not as if this is what I plan to be. I say you can be anything at any time. You can be anything at any time. You can be anything. I told him, I know architects, well, I don't know them personally, I've heard of, who are accountants today. They studied architecture, they left school. Is it a Pismarwick or Arthur Anderson, one of these big accounting firms? Okay. Look, and they said they wanted intelligent young people. No, okay, the one I'm thinking about, no, is a doctor. So he applied, and they trained him to be an accountant today. There are newspaper columns you will read, all right? This day, if you were following the fuel crisis before they removed subsidy, all right? There's a man there, he was the best student in my class. He has a bachelor's in medicine, bachelor's in surgery. He was my classmate, best student. He did this medicine, the guy didn't have time. As soon as we left school, the guy abandoned all of us. Like this in our language. We're arguing the other time, did he finish house job? That was the argument we're having. No, my classmates. He did it. Where is he? I'm telling you the truth. There's one guy I know, I heard of also, an architect by training. He's a pilot today, flying charter flights in Nigeria. Spent all the years drawing buildings and drawing structure, learning how to do everything. At the end of the day, when he finished, some people said they're looking for intelligent young men they can train. He said, why not? He joined them, and he's a pilot. These are the things I told my son. I said, so, let's understand the purpose of university. It's not for any other purpose than to go and enlarge your mind, to go and mature, which is the reason why I'm not sending my son to Harvard or Yale. I don't care, because I want him to enlarge his mind where faith abounds. Don't make my boy an atheist for me. I would die a sad old man. Are you getting my principle here? So listen. So he said, what are we doing? We're just occupying ourselves. That's what I'm going to say. We're just occupying ourselves. We Christians must understand. So I told my son, I said, so go and pray. Then on Wednesday, we'll have this talk. And God sees my heart. My heart is open. Let me tell you the truth. I'm not joking. Okay? I'm a lecturer in Faculty of Medicine, the College of Medicine, at UNEC. We have staff list, staff children. We are giving priority. If my son just managed to pass jam small, that's it. They guarantee him a seat. It's in the Bible. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that stretching out the wheat. And I told my son as much, look, it's not a problem. In fact, yesterday night when I was praying about it, I had to consciously confess away that advantage. Father God, in the name of Jesus, that is not an advantage to me. I trust in you. I had to confess it by prayer last night. So if it's something somebody should reach for, I have it naturally speaking. Paul said, of natural advantages, if anybody should boast, I the more. But I told him simply, my guy, this is not a key to success in life. You can be a doctor and you go crazy. No. Nothing in life guarantees anything. Nothing in life guarantees anything. You want anything better, get on your knees and learn to pray. I told you, one of our brothers told me about one woman in their place who sent two of her children abroad. They gathered every foreign degree, came back home. They can't find a job. The parents are influential enough to send them to American universities and pay cash from their pockets. I told you, my son, two Christmases ago, went to my father-in-law's village when he was opening his house in the village. Grand house. My son walked around the house. He came to me, said, Daddy, how come there are so many chandeliers in this house? I said, Hakindu, it's called prosperity. So he said, how do I find prosperity? I said, you want prosperity? He said, yes. I said, get on your knees. So he knelt and I said, now say after me. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh that you will bless me indeed, and you will make my name great, and enlarge my coast, and keep me from evil, so that it will not harm me. And if I say in Jesus' name, say in Jesus' name, I say, now, get up. I said, you have just found prosperity. I said, now, go and read your book and do what is right, and you will prosper in life. There's no guarantee. Look, I just say, doctor, you should be able to get your son. What is it then? Okay, I'm a doctor now. Nobody preaching that they preach. Was it you know I was telling? I know what my classmates have done, some of them with this profession. Nothing about them. One was talking to me the other day,
I finally commanded, you know, I paid the man 60 million. It's okay. I should be able to sell the other and finish the small building there for 30 million naira. I'm telling you the truth. But what does it be? Look, the truth is that, look, anything you want in life, you ask God for. There's no way of plotting these things. There's no way. And that's a lesson we Christians are supposed to learn from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon said, God has appointed when he will bless you. If you want blessing, do like Jabez. Get on your knees and ask him for it. There is no profit to your toil. Your toil must just be something that keeps you busy with the gift of God that he has kept in your hands. I have been gifted, anointed, deputized by God to teach his word. I won't leave it to do any other thing. Anything I want, I ask him for it. And I wait patiently for it. And he will always, 100% of the times, give it to me. The only time he doesn't give me is just one condition. If he persuades me otherwise. Because over time, he can show you banking is not important. Then I pull back. But if I say, yes, God, I want it. It's time. Patience is all I need. He will bring it. So he said, what are we getting for all our toll? He said, don't worry. I have kept, now we know the meaning of eternity in their hearts. Just be busy. I've put a gift in your hand. Just be busy doing it. Enjoy your labor. Enjoy it. Don't compare yourself with anybody. He said he has made everything beautiful in its time. The time that abundance will come to you has been appointed. It's control from the heavens. It's not control from your labor. That's what Solomon was saying. He said, God is seeking. He said, what God does, let me put it like this, the decree of the Almighty is what will come to pass. Nothing, your labor can't take anything from it. It can't add to it. He said, God has so worked that men should fear him. That's verse 14 of chapter 3. That which is has already been. That is what you are experiencing now is what God has determined before now. By faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. That what you are experiencing is what God determines. The application for us believers is that if we want to affect anything, we go to God and affect it from above the heavens, not down on the earth by our labors. Take a country like ours. People on radio shouting, stand up for this, stand up for this. Believe me, stand up for nothing. Get down on your knees if you want anything changed in society. It's not human struggle. You know what happened? Let me tell Nigerians, be careful. Have sense. The Bible says that, learn a lesson from the fig tree. They shouted Arab Spring, Arab Spring. Arab Spring became winter. I remember Mohamed Bouazizi burnt himself up because somebody seized his cart. He was a fruit seller. That began riots in Tunisia. It spread to Egypt. Listen, almost everywhere Arab Spring failed. Libya, they have no government till today. Which was the reason why, what is his name? The Russian guy, Vladimir Putin, the man of God. That was the reason. He's a man of God. The guy's a man of God. You don't know. I love him. He's the reason why Obama did not export all his rubbish to us. He's one major reason. The Bible says, there is he that let, shall continue to let. He was a hindrance to Obama. That was the reason he got angry and went into Syria. Because he saw what they did in Libya. They were going to do the same thing in Syria. They were shouting, Arab Spring, Arab Spring. You saw what happened in Libya. At the end of the day, the decree of the Almighty, chaos. They went into Egypt, Arab Spring, Arab, they removed Mubarak. At the end of the day, they had to put another Mubarak back to have peace. The man, the Al-Sisi man, is exactly a Mubarak. He was an Air Force general. Mubarak was like that also. Then became the head of state. He removed his uniform, ran for an election that he conducted. Exactly how Mubarak entered into office. And immediately he sent Mubarak home to house arrest. Say, leave that old man alone. Arab Spring, nothing came out of it. They took Arab Spring to Syria. This is the fifth year now. There has been no peace. And listen, were he not for Vladimir Putin, it would have been worse. That's when you know that Arabs, they don't have the ability to run a democracy. By law, somebody must dominate them. That's how they are. Even Russians are like that. They are used to monarchies. They check it all their life. They always had a king or the other. This democracy, don't understand how this rubbish democracy. Look, let's just talk world events. All this noise they are making that Vladimir Putin is back. Go to Russia. Approval rating above 70% anytime. Russians love him because he brought pride to their country. One of the things that, listen, don't let anybody tell you it's uprising that moves him forward. This North Africa, they uprose. Is that the correct passport? Yes, now. You rise, you rose, Abi. Uprising, they uprose. At the end of the day, what happened? Nothing. To have peace, they had to return back to the beginning where they were. Status quo. Solomon said, human effort, zero. But when it's time that God wants to change things, oh my father. Go and listen to Daniel. This is a head of gold. He described Nebuchadnezzar. And he showed him everything down till he got to the feet of clay, mixed with iron. The legs of iron. The legs of iron, the Roman government, the Roman Empire. These things were determined by God. That's why I said God seeks that which already is. He already determined these things. When he was going to replace the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, he said, I will bring a man that they won't close the door against him. They forgot to lock the door against their great city, even though they had very great walls. Somebody left the door open. And Darius walked in without any resistance, took over the kingdom. The power belongs to God. Amen. Christians must understand that. So in this country, when you want to meditate, meditate along these lines. You want to change things, you change them from the realm of the spirit. And you change it not by arguing with God, you plead for mercy. Yes, sir. You plead for God's mercy. You plead for God's mercy. You want prosperity for your land, ask for it. Repent of doing evil. That's how it comes. Then he sets the time and the season. Let nobody lie to you. Let me end with this. Because of time, we have to close here. I was thinking we'll end chapter 3, but apparently we have to end it here. Okay? Let nobody lie to you that our current president was not appointed by God. Anybody says that is not a true man of God or he does not know the Bible. I hear preachers talk that in every day. They don't know scripture. God rules in our affairs. He doesn't always do what you like. Get that one clear. He does not always do what you like. The story of Donald Trump is one of them I find very, very interesting. You know, I told you many months ago, I stopped watching America presidential debate. I said, why? Remember the reason I gave? I said, one day I just said that, what is all of this watching? God has determined who will be president of America. Why am I even bothering myself? And CNN, which is the number one network most of us will watch, they were pushing Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, of course. They rigged that man out. Hillary Clinton, push. God just looked them, say, thank God I'm not a reporter. It's God, though. Say, I'm not a reporter. I am God. I determine what happens. It was later when I found out that Sadhu Selvaraj has said that he went to the council in heaven and he saw Donald Trump appear. And the watchmen in heaven, the degree of the watchers, the Bible talked about, they told him that this is the next president of the United States. They told him this man has been prepared for that job. At that time, he was trailing behind Hillary Clinton in the polls. They exposed everything about him. What he said about women. The scandal of Trump University. They said everything about the man. God who rules in the affairs of men. He said, don't worry. Shebi, I'm God. Just watch it. Hillary Clinton got 2.5 million votes more than him. Yes. But he won more states. Electoral college rules. He became president. A man who has never fought in the army. A man who has never held any political post in his life. So all this is that he's doing. Eh? He's just running business. That's how he does business. It was God that determined. He rules in the affairs of man. When I said there's a time for everything. Let me talk about our country. Let me talk about you. Let me talk about me. There's a time for everything. Means there's a time that God will show favor specially on you.
Amen.
You have done 10 businesses. Don't worry about it. It's called keep busy. Tell your neighbor, keep busy.
Keep busy.
Tell your neighbor, keep busy.
Keep busy.
Tell somebody, learn righteousness.
Learn righteousness.
Learn what is good.
Learn what is good.
Say, the appointed time is coming.
The appointed time is coming.
Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's just give him thanks. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for your own appointed time is coming. It's not a game of chance. That time is coming. If you look on the earth, it may look like chance.
But we now know, because we are believers, we know the time is coming. As believers, we must pray. That's the only control. He said, fear God, obey his commandments. That's the only place control comes into your life from. Fear God, obey his commandments. It is not your hustle. Hustle is just to keep you busy. You can't be idle. It's to practice your hands doing something. You go to work, it's just to keep busy. You just can't be idle. But appointed time has been determined. Thank you for this country. God is listening to our cries for mercy. The spirit of Rwanda and Burundi will not get here.
Amen.
Let us give him thanks for his goodness. Father, we give you thanks for it. Let us give him thanks individually. Just thank him again. Thank him again.